This is Jay Sekulow, Biden's agenda, Iran first at Israel's expense.
Live from Washington, D.C., Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We've got a lot to discuss today. Mike Pompeo, our senior counsel, and, of course, former Secretary of State, is going to be joining us in the third segment. We're going to discuss both Iran and Cuba. And there's a similarity, and I want to talk about that right at the top of the broadcast. And the similarity is the way in which the administration is responding to it. You remember in 2009, the Green Revolution in Iran, millions of students took to the streets of Iran to overthrow the Ayatollahs. And it could have happened. It happened in other parts of, it's called the Arab Spring. It happened in other parts of the world. But the Obama administration, by doing nothing, encouraged a stand down. In other words, we were not doing anything to encourage the protesters or a desire for democracy. Cuba has tens of thousands of people in the streets right now. And the response from the White House is tepid at best. Now, Logan said this on radio yesterday, and it's very true. Cuba is 90 miles from Miami, a 26-minute flight. You can get there by boat in a couple of hours. I mean, it is our neighbor. Yet we're doing little to nothing to protect the protesters, to encourage democracy. And some on the left have even praised these regimes, which is ironic indeed. Socialism, communism has not served mankind well. But yet the desire seems to still be there. You talked about that yesterday, Logan. What was the response from those that were listening to the broadcast? I know we got a lot of comments.
Yeah, a lot of comments and calls came in to share their thoughts and views. A lot of people just need to be educated on what's happening also. I think that's a big part of this. It's not necessarily having a full grasp of what's going on, especially when there's so much happening within our own country. And these topics don't necessarily make the top headlines. As we see this morning, it's all Jeff Bezos going to space. It's all, you know, which is great.
Good.
No problem with it. And there's it's positive things happening in the world and are positive things happening in our country. But I think people have to be educated on what's going on and to not let things just get out of a news cycle. So with Cuba, obviously last week was a big deal. This week, barely any coverage. Obviously things have changed. Obviously maybe it's not as strong of an uprising there. Sorry, I spilled my water while sitting here. But there are things still happening. We need to make sure we keep up with it. And that's why we have on guests yesterday, Rick Grenell, and later on Mike Pompeo, to bring people on, part of our team, to keep these things going. That's why you watch this show and you're a part of it.
Yeah, I'm encouraged by this. I'm encouraged by the people in these countries that are protesting. I am not encouraged by our government's response to those protests. Iran, it is Iran first. The United States is, you know, we're acting as if Iran is a superpower. And they've called off negotiations with the United States pending their installation of their new, even more radical president. So we're going to get into that coming up. We're going to take your comments about it. But this is a serious issue. And for the ACLJ, it's serious, too. And, Than, I don't know how we're doing time-wise here. But, Than, what's the reaction in Washington on Cuba?
Yeah, just about a minute left, Jay. But I would tell you, I think some of the strongest reactions are coming from elected officials who are actually Cuban Americans. I mean, I would quote you, Congressman Maria Salazar, who said, "We see the American flag waving on the streets of Havana because they yearn for what we have, freedom. I know this well because I am the daughter of political refugees who fled the evil Castro regime." Jay, I'd like to see that tone coming from down the street at the White House.
Yeah. You're 100% right. Well, we're in a matching challenge. I'm going to toss it over to Logan. We encourage you to participate.
That's right. Participate in the matching challenge. Be a part of it right now and today. Go to ACLJ.org. Every donation you make is doubled. So it's $10 or someone on the other end that's given $10 to match it. So that means effectively your donation is doubled in value. So we appreciate that for the month of July. Do it right now at ACLJ.org. You can also make sure you follow us on all social medias. Be a part of what we do here. Share this broadcast. Click the thumbs up and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. And if you're listening on radio, what I would encourage you to do, even if you're not a listener to radio, give us a call right now. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this topic as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with more on Sekulow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Seculo, we are talking about a few different topics, mainly here about what's going on in Iran. We're going to be joined in the next segment by Mike Pompeo. My dad, Jay Seculo, is joining us remotely. We also have Wes Smith here and Will Haynes in studio. So let's continue this discussion going on. If you want to give us a call, I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. And I believe they have Bennett also is in D.C. So we have a whole panel of people. I'll go to Dad first and just say, where do you think people should start to learn, start to be educated on what's going on?
I think as it relates to Iran, we have to look at the fact that a hardline administration is put in power. They call it elections, but it's not elections. The Ayatollah picks these individuals, and they're puppets of the Ayatollah. And this idea that we're going to negotiate in good faith, Mike Pompeo calls Iran the senior partner in this project. I think it's even more than that. I mean, it's America acting, as I said earlier, as if Iran is some kind of superpower. So I think we have to realize that what we have to do at the American Center for Law and Justice and our international affiliates is recognize the harm that could come into place when the Iranians, if there is ever this deal struck, and that is going to be that you will get a nuclear Iran, which is very dangerous for Israel, but very dangerous for the entire region and dangerous for the United States and brings instability. Remember, Iran, and Wes Smith could address this, is the largest exporter of terrorism in the world. We did a movie on that a decade ago, and it's proved to be more true now than it even was then. But Wes, they are the exporters of terrorism, and the U.S. policy is not helping that diminish.
No, I mean, they are terrorism writ large. And one of the things that I find alarming about the Biden administration's response in a number of areas is that they seem to be very soft and naive on the whole issue of terrorism. For example, the idea that he still wants to close down Guantanamo Bay, released a prisoner yesterday, one of the terrorists who was responsible for plotting attacks on America. Our southern border is porous. We have had people cross the border that we caught. We don't know how many we did not catch, who are on the terrorist watch list, and yet the Biden administration seems totally nonplussed by that. In March, he took the Houthi rebels off the terrorism list. They've been on there for a long time. They were on the terrorism list under President Obama as well as President Trump, but he took them off of that. And then you get to Iran. There's this delusional idea, I think, by President Biden and his team that somehow if we will lift sanctions and we will help, quote unquote, Iran, that they will become more like us and that they're going to be good partners. And that is not only naive, Jay, that is dangerously naive.
No, I was going to say that, Logan, that the problem with all this, as Wes is exactly right, is the naivete of the administration. This is the same people. Remember this. This is the Obama team. They just have been promoted now from the agencies to the White House. But it's the same teams leading the charge on all this. It's the same teams that are desiring this impact, which is this supposed nuclear deal, which does nothing but give Iran a pathway to a nuclear weapon. So that's the problem with all of it. And it's the same problem of messaging that we have in the situation in Cuba. Tens of thousands of people in the streets in Cuba, and the Biden administration is basically tepid at best, silent at worst. So we don't know where to pick. I mean, this administration does not know where to pick its allies. That's the problem. And that, I think, is creating a lot of problems.
I think there's mixed feelings probably amongst the administration. There's people probably, it's just like the situation where you have Joe Biden going out and saying, we know communism bad, socialism not much better. But then you have people in his own party and probably within his own staff and White House that don't feel that way. So there's probably a old school and a sadly more progressive new school that probably have an internal battle on where they go. I mean, if you look at the policies of the Obama administration, you can see a lot of it's just being rolled over into this administration. That's not necessarily where their party is. Their party isn't where they were with Obama just, 6 years ago. A lot has progressed. A lot has changed. Obviously, the world has changed. And these situations, these issues, Iran, Cuba, human rights in general are broadcast in a completely different way. And we have to make sure that there hopefully is a unified voice from at least our side of what we should be doing.
No, I think that's right. And I think one of the things that we got to point out, and Will is our director of our broadcast, but is also on air with us today. And it's interesting to me, Will, that the media has been so pretty silent on Cuba. It's shocking to me. I mean, you've got basically a potential revolution taking place there, and it's silence. And that's because the hard left actually supports these regimes. That's what's so scary about all this.
Well, and the concern is in what we saw with the Green Revolution is when it wasn't fully supported and the world didn't come alongside of the protesters in the street, what you ended up with is a revolution that fizzled out and a stronger Iranian regime. So now you look at what's going on in Cuba and we're wondering, is this replaying? Is it history repeating itself? Same people in the administration of the Obama administration, now in the Biden administration, and the same media players as well. Are we going to see what is now, for the first time in 60 years, the people of Cuba standing up in the streets demanding freedom? Are they going to end up falling apart because of lack of organization or lack of support internationally? And then the regime in Cuba actually benefiting from a failed revolution in their streets?
Well, I think the great fear is exactly what happened in Iran. That's why we're drawing the parallel in this broadcast. And one of the things we do at the ACLJ on our policy side, which is what we're talking about today, is look at the ramifications and repercussions of how issues interplay. And you're exactly right. The concern has to be that if the regime in Cuba survives, after you have tens of thousands of people in the street, and by the way, they would not survive if the United States supported the efforts of the people of Cuba. Let's be clear. There's no way that if the United States properly, legally, with under international law, supported the efforts of the people in Cuba, that the regime would survive. Having said that, you have to have the willingness to take the risk, the willingness to take the challenge, the willingness to engage the enemy, so to speak. And they are the enemy. And they're an enemy that's 90 miles off of our border. So that's the problem with all this. And it was the same thing that happened with Iran when that revolution failed because President Obama did nothing to support it. In fact, to the contrary, when they did nothing to support it and really hurt those millions of students on the street, millions of students in Tehran were on the streets. And then the Ayatollah's grips become stronger. So are we going to support? We should be exporting something. It's called freedom and liberty, which we believe is a God-given inalienable right. And that's what we should be exporting as the United States then. And I'm concerned that there are some so hard left in Congress right now that they actually support, I'm not saying they're going to support the Ayatollah, but they support these Cuban regimes.
Yeah, you're correct to be concerned. I think that same mentality exists in the White House as well. Look, in Iran, there's no doubt there was a missed moment. There was a missed opportunity in time. And I think that is that exists in Cuba as well. I mean, look, I would tell you two things, Jay. First of all, we see lots of agitating on the left for ideas of communism and socialism. Well, look, I think they would do well to look at the people who are actually living under these regimes to see how they work. Those are the people that are trying to escape them. And Jay, on the policy point, I was really concerned this week when the Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, he finally found a group of people that he doesn't want to let into the country. It's the Cuban refugees who are coming by boat. And look, Jay, of course, rule of law still applies there. But if there is one group that would have a legitimate claim to asylum, that would be them. And yet that was the single group that the secretary decided to single out and say, we're going to turn you back.
So we're letting illegal aliens come in through our southern border with basically no interference. And we're letting people that actually have legitimate asylum issues and are fleeing regimes that not only suppress but kill their people that disagree with them. And we're not supporting those people. We're not letting them in. By the way, that's happened before in our history, Republican and Democrat, I have to say. Republicans have been better about it, but there have been moments too. But I think what we have to be clear here is, what is the message we are trying to send out, Wes, as the United States? It should be, if we're going to export something, it should be, you know, you're not going to be able to repeat the our constitutional Republican form of government everywhere in the world. But freedom and liberty and fundamental human rights, what the United States should be exporting.
Yeah, and that is our tradition. That is our history. That's our past practice. When things like this happen, and face it, opportunities like this don't come along very often. But when they do, America has been and needs to be now the unequivocal champion of freedom. We need to have unequivocal support of the demonstrators in Cuba. There are things we can do, and it starts with us really giving them support, unlike what we did with the demonstrators in Iran. We can also use Guantanamo Bay, which is on the island of Cuba, to bolster their internet, which the Cuban regime has now cut off in order to stop communication among the people longing for freedom. And there are other things we can do practically. We can use our intelligence services to covertly support the people there in Cuba. Jay, I was moved as I watched the demonstrators over the last few days. They're not down there, you know, protesting about COVID vaccines or things like that, or the embargo the U.S. has on them. They were holding American flags and they were crying freedom, freedom over and over again. That should move everyone in the administration to champion their cause.
And Logan, that's why we do this broadcast.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to hear from you right now. If you want to give us a call, tell us about what you think about how we can help, like my dad said, export that freedom to some of these other countries that need it in time, or they need the opportunity. Give us a call right now. Or what's your thoughts in general on this? Should we even get involved? 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Of course, your donations also to the ACLJ are doubled for the month of July. So if you give during July, $10 comes $20 and so on. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo, but my dad is joining us remotely right now, Jay Seculo. We also have Wes Smith here. We have Will Haynes. We also have Thad Bennett in D.C. So we've got a full panel, and we've got some calls coming in. If you want to be part of that conversation, 1-800-684-3110. We are joined now by one of our senior counsels here at the ACLJ, and you know him as well, Mike Pompeo, who is joining us live right now. We're talking about, you currently have a new piece, right, Will, that's available on ACLJ.org?
That's right. You have a new article up, "The American People Must Stand with the People of Cuba as They Demand Freedom." And thus far, we have seen a tepid at best support from the administration for the Cuban protesters. But what should the American response be to the situation in Cuba?
Well, your point's well taken. I think tepid is actually pretty generous. It hasn't really risen to any significant level of attention. The uprisings in Cuba, the Cuban people's demands for freedom should be met with real American action. There are half a dozen things we could do. When I was the CIA director and secretary of state, we knew how to turn on the internet in places like Iran and North Korea so we could help them communicate with each other. We could do that very easily 9 miles off of our shore. We could conduct exercises in international waterways around making sure they knew that American power was not far offshore. This would help the Cuban people regain courage and strength when they're being oppressed in the ways that we know surely the regime is doing today inside of Cuba. We could begin to build out a set of diplomatic strategies that would encourage the Cuban leadership to say, your time has come, it's time to leave. We'll make sure you get safe exit, but we'll get you to a place where the Cuban people can have the freedom they so richly deserved. And then we should be relentless at talking about communism and its evil and all the horrors it has inflicted upon the Cuban people. And we should be doing that not only to the American audiences, but to audiences all across the world, building a coalition to support freedom for these people who want nothing more than to live their lives, practice their faith, and live outside of the tyranny that the Castro follow-on flunkies are delivering to them today.
Secretary Pompeo, we're going to reconnect with you real quick. We're just having some sound difficulties. And, Will, this is something that we've talked about, and we'll get you back on in just a second here. But we've talked about this, that new blog that's available on ACLJ.org. I do want to encourage everyone, you haven't spent time on our website to do that. There's not just, you know, we promote it to go and donate support and keep us going, keep the shows going, keep everything happening. But more importantly, there is great content that's provided by our team, including Secretary Mike Pompeo. And it's a great experience to go and see all. It's a brand new website. Also, for a lot of you are getting our brand new website, so you need to take a look at that, aclj.org. Dad?
You know, one of the things I want to encourage people also is that today is a really heavy focus for us on policy issues. And, you know, you think of us as the courtroom people, and of course we do a lot of that in the legislative affairs, but you've got to deal with policy. And what Secretary Pompeo was discussing, and what we were discussing earlier, is what is the American policy, the United States policy going to be as it relates to either Iran, which we're unfortunately seeing that unfold, or Cuba, which, as the secretary just said, well, there are a lot of things the United States can do, like getting the internet back on. Not complicated for our CIA. Supporting those on the streets. Giving diplomatic measures so that the Cuban leadership understands that there is no option other than freedom and liberty. So that's the one thing. I wanted to go back on that, Mike, with you, because there, you know, we always talk about Iran is the great exporter of terrorism. The United States tries to export freedom and liberty, but this is 90 miles away from our border. We have this situation, and what are the next best plans that should be put in place as it relates to Cuba?
So, Jay, your point's very well taken. We made very clear to the regime that we would impose enormous costs on them. We declared them state-sponsored terrorist, something I did as Secretary of State. They are exporting terror in the same way the Iranians are. They're a narco-terrorist state as well. They are transmitting drugs and transshipping drugs all across the Caribbean. We have real costs that we can impose on the Cuban leadership, and we can give them an escape hatch. And we have to we have to make absolutely clear, this game is over. After all these years after the revolution, the game is over. The country is going to move to freedom, and the United States is going to impose enormous costs on them. Not go to baseball games, not have hot dogs with them, but impose enormous costs on them till the time they get that right.
So what is the theory? I mean, you were running the CIA. You were the Secretary of State. What is the possible thought process that the Biden administration can be doing right now as they implement this non-engagement strategy? This is no-comment strategy with regard to Cuba. What is it they're thinking could happen here that would be beneficial to the Cuban people or the United States by doing nothing?
Jay, it's been their long-held view, the Biden-Obama view, that if you sell them stuff, it's the European view as well. If you sell them stuff, that'll get to the people, their lives will get better, and then the country will somehow magically become free. It is foolish. It is dangerous. It's bad for the Cuban people. It's bad for the region and our national security as well. This is produced, as you said, this is just less than 100 miles off our shore. The Russians are operating there. All the bad guys are operating there. We have to get this right. It is not as hard as they describe. Their logic somehow suggests, much like with Iran and China, that if you sell them some trinkets or give them some money, then magically things will get better. It is foolish.
Let me ask you this. The Obama administration abandoned the Green Revolution when you had millions of Iranian students in the streets trying to overthrow the Ayatollahs. It was during the Arab Spring, and it could have happened. But the Obama administration stood silent. You have the same parallel taking place right now as it relates to Cuba. You've got this mass revolution on the streets, or at least mass protests, not the numbers that you had in Cuba because the population's not the size, but proportionality probably very similar. Yet nothing is happening. And what is the message that we're sending globally to our allies or to those that are seeking freedom and liberty within tyrannical regimes when we do nothing?
I so wish this had happened in Cuba a year ago when President Trump and I were running American foreign policy. We understood that the world was watching how America react when freedom-loving people simply demand to get their lives back. And your point's well taken. I promise you that freedom fighters in parts of the country and parts of the world can see this, and they are discouraged from doing precisely what the Cuban people did because the American leadership wouldn't rally alongside them.
Well, you know, I appreciate your work when you were the CIA director and, of course, the Secretary of State. And we're just thrilled that you're a senior counsel with the ACLJ, giving us your insight. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, thanks for being with us. Thanks for the insight. Logan, this, again, is another reason why supporting the work of the ACLJ, as today we talk about policy, and we're able to broadcast this policy on social media platforms, on websites, of course, on radio stations around the country, on satellite radio, anybody in the world can get this broadcast. And it's because people are standing with the ACLJ, and especially during our Matching Challenge Month.
Yeah, anywhere around the world, if your country allows the internet. So that is at ACLJ.org, as you said. That's one of the things we're fighting for. ACLJ.org, you can go there. Not only said, can you donate, because right now it's a Matching Challenge, as we continue the Matching Challenge for the month of July. However, like I said, you need to go there and see the other options that we have. Great other videos that come out of there. Great videos on our YouTube channel. We are providing a great amount of content as well as legal action that we're taking for you and for Americans. And also, if you need legal help, go to ACLJ.org. If there's something that's within our wheelhouse, and you'll find out all that information on our website. There's just a get help, get legal help button. Click it, fill out a form. You'll be connected with an attorney and someone will get with you. And that is free of charge. And that's why the donations help support that. Keep the staff hired, keep lawyers working, keep our production team going. Because all of this is provided for you at absolutely no cost. But we do need your support. And that's at ACLJ.org/donate to give a donation directly. Or I'd also encourage you to give us a call if you want to be on the air.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.